and welcome to the Student Ministry Conversations podcast with your hosts, Brent Aiken, David Pruitt, and Russell Martin. This podcast is all about equipping, encouraging, and inspiring youth pastors weekly with topics that are brought to the table by youth pastors from all over the world. And now, here's your host for this week, Brent Aiken. Hey, and welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time listening to us, we want to welcome you and invite you over to our website, studentministryconversations.org, where you can find all of our previous episodes, show notes, and blog articles. Our goal is that you are inspired, encouraged, and the things that you hear on this podcast can equip you to be a better student pastor for the church that you're serving in. Today, we are sitting down with Steve Cullum, and Steve is in a lot of things, but Steve's primary occupation or role is he is with the National Network of Youth Ministries. But Steve, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about you, what you're involved in, and family, whatever else you want to share.
Yeah, thanks, Brent. So great to be here with you. And yeah, my primary role now is as the Colorado coordinator for National Network of Youth Ministries. And that's mostly what takes up my time, but I'm also serving as a part-time youth pastor at a local church as well, and helping them in between youth pastors, and hoping to train up the next youth pastor that will come after me as well. And I've got my own podcast, Student Ministry Connection, that I've been doing for a while, and involved in lots of other organizations, such as the nature of working for a National Network of Youth Ministry. It's a networking organization, so not only do I get to pour into youth pastors and help train them up and coach them and things, but also working with a lot of different organizations around the country that also love teenagers and want to make Jesus known among teenagers. And so got a lot of different irons in the fire and connections that we get out there, but it comes in handy when working with a networking organization like that.
Yeah, definitely. And so at least from the background of your video, if you're watching the video on YouTube, it does look like you are a video game fan, a Star Wars fan, stuff like that. So that's glad we're in good company. But the conversation today, though, as if you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that we typically ask our guests to pick topics. Steve's topic for today was one that kind of caught my eye, and it said, what youth group should look like, or the future of student ministry, basically, because they go hand in hand. And so obviously with everything that's going on in our world, whether you look at still COVID, because apparently that's still a thing, and then all the different things that teenagers are dealing with, all the different world issues that we're dealing with, all the different cultural issues, there's so many different things that are on the table. And so I think it's a pretty reasonable question to ask of what is next. How do we function in a world of chaos that kind of just seems to be around us, and it doesn't matter where you look? So what is that future that we're looking for, and what is the focus as we move forward?
Yeah. To be honest, I don't know. but I think it's a really engaging conversation because it is constantly changing. And youth ministry has been around for a while. It's still a fairly new ministry within the church. But with the constant changes and everything that's happening in our society, especially the last like 10 years, things have just been going crazy. Like, we have COVID, but we also have mental health that's on the rise. Technology and AI and social media and all these different things that are playing into all this stuff that the teenagers are constantly engaging with and being bombarded with. And so how do we respond as youth pastors? How do we respond as the church? And what does that mean for youth group? And I think for me, I think back, you know, I'm a child of the 90s youth group. And so big events, big, you know, smoke, lights, all that stuff was awesome. And it drew me in, it drew my friends in, and we came to know Jesus because of events like that. But I don't think that kind of stuff is what's really going to get the attention of teenagers nowadays. And so we've got to be different in order to not only change with the culture, but also to combat some of those things that are happening in the culture, to be able to look at them and go, okay, what are teenagers still missing? They're not missing entertainment value. Yeah. At one point, church could offer that, but they've got entertainment up to, you know, whatever. But what can we offer as a church that they can't get anywhere else and that is clearly needed in our world today? So that's kind of the things that I think of when I think of where we're going in the future.
Yeah, no, and I definitely think that is important because there's a lot of different things that, like you said, that are kind of coming into play. And even, like you said, just looking at the last 10 years, granted, I've been in youth ministry for almost 14 years, but right before that, I was in youth. And so I've been involved in some way, shape, or form of youth ministry for the past 20 years. And the last 10 really have just kind of not necessarily evolved youth ministry, but evolved the culture around us that we're trying to reach. And there's some startling statistics when it comes to how we are doing things and how we are going through different things as far as how to reach people, how to interact with teenagers, how to speak about current issues. There are so many different things. And there was a study that was done that said 35 to 50 million young people will leave the faith by 2050 if something's not done. And so obviously it is a very, very big thing that we are addressing. Youth groups are falling by the wayside. And I kind of have to ask the question of, like, what strategies do you believe in that are most effective and engaging? Because you kind of said that the big games and the smoke and lights and mirrors aren't working anymore. And so is it something that we need to reevaluate? Do we need to reinvent the wheel? How do we need to go about in this conversation?
Yeah, I think what you hit on is so important to know, because the statistics are there that we could be on the verge of the biggest downturn, at least in American Christianity. Who knows about the rest of the world? But let's focus on our context here within the Western world. Yeah, we could see so many people falling away, including teenagers, and that those numbers of students that are walking away from their faith after they graduate high school have not gone down. They've only gone up over the years.
Yeah.
And so as someone like yourself that's passionate about reaching the next generation, man, that's something we need to pay attention to. So how do we actually do that? And at the same time, the other numbers that are on the rise are things that, you know, like the amount of teenagers that are committing suicide every year. And most of the country, it's number two killer of teenagers. And where I live here in Colorado, it's number one.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's serious. That's something we need to address. And so they're stepping away from their faith. They're struggling more than ever. And yet what I also have found out from a lot of other studies, Barna and Fuller and some other places have found out that teenagers are more open than they ever have been before. Well, at least in recent years. And so how are we taking advantage of that? And I think for me, that means how are we actually engaging with students rather than just putting on a show, rather than, you know, having the best, trying to find the best curriculum out there and trying to find the best musicians and putting on this event. And it's the programs are important, but what do we do with those programs?
Yeah.
And I think teenagers are looking for deeply for relationships. Like, if we cannot provide relationships for them, I think we're missing a huge thing that they deeply need. They're the most connected with the least connected, right?
Yeah.
And so how do we actually connect them, number one, with the God of the universe, but number two, with others, other Christians who deeply care about them as well and want the best for them and want them to know God very well as well. And I think relationships is, to me, that number one thing, that strategy that we can really go after. And that's going to look different. That's going to be able to be contextualized in all our different settings. But how are we prioritizing relationships above everything else?
Yeah. No, and I think relationships are key. And I think you said it really, really well in the conversation of, if they don't find it with us, they're going to find it elsewhere. I think that is one of the reasons that the rise of sports has gone up so much, other than just parents pushing their kids to be in sports, because they see the, I guess, long-term value of things that you learn, or everybody has that my kid's going to be a pro someday kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. But the other side of it is like that relationship that they build with the coach, the relationship with that they build with their teammates, all those relationships, while those are not inherently bad, there are some great people and great coaches that are God-fearing and doing great, great things in those areas, but it also leaves them susceptible to the bad ones. And so finding those relationships in other areas can be really, really open to a lot of different things happening, especially like you said, with the whole mindset behind this culture and it being like the teenagers now are, like you said, more open than ever. And so they're going to be open to whoever allows them to be open to. And so I think that's where we see a lot of the cultural shifts that we've seen over the past. They find that they are more engaged with the open community. And unfortunately, in a lot of instances, the open community is not the church, which is terrifying. So how can youth ministries adapt, with that being said, about this whole openness conversation? How can youth ministries adapt to the evolving cultural and social dynamics of today's youth? I mean, obviously, there's so much stuff going on. 35% of communication for a teenager is done over social media now, which is crazy to me, being someone that like barely can keep a Facebook open. And so it's one of those things that like, how do we reach out and how do we engage just this evolving culture around us?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an ever moving target, I think, for sure. But I think the biggest thing, and there's some other things that come to my mind, but the biggest thing is just being open to learning. I think as youth leaders, we can't just sit back and we know the truth. We know what the Bible says, and then just put up these walls against everything else. We have to at least be learning what students are going through, what are they actually dealing with nowadays, and being able to step into their world. And when we do that, we can love them and show them God's grace for them without throwing the truth in their face. Like, we'll get to the truth. We'll get to what the Bible says, but we're never going to get there if we don't love them first, if we don't show God's grace to them first through our actions and how we speak to them. And then eventually we can look at the Bible together rather than saying, hey, you're doing wrong, you know, step away. Well, a lot of students, they don't even know Jesus yet. They don't even know what he wants for their life. So how about we introduce them to Jesus first? And then we'll walk through that stuff together. And I think what that takes is intentionality with students to not necessarily just sit back and teach our weekly lesson, but to actually step into their world. But it also takes intentionality to learn what they're going through and to learn how to engage with them online. Like, if, you know, I was against TikTok, for instance, for a really long time, but constantly, that's all teenagers talking about. Every time I talked to them, they were talking, oh, have you seen this TikTok trend and this TikTok trend? Well, guess where I am now? I'm on TikTok and I'm watching stuff, and I found some stuff that I enjoy as well, but I'm also on there because I need to learn what they're learning, and I need to see what they're seeing. And of course, put appropriate boundaries up and all those different things. But we need to be able to be willing to step into that world in order to relate to them, to connect with them. And Brent, like, I just keep thinking of Jesus. That's exactly how he did ministry. Yeah. It wasn't special. He just stepped into people's world and he made it personal. Like, he got to know them and he connected with them, and he brought whatever he needed to do, like, to bring in that situation to them because he knew them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is, when we look at those, I mean, you look at Jesus, you look at the stories of Jesus, you look at the parables, you look at the different things. What did the people back then know? Well, they knew farming, they knew fishing, they knew whatever family trade they had. And how did Jesus teach the gospel to them? Well, he told stories of farming, he told stories of fishing, he told whatever trade that they could do, as long as he had any bearing of what that was, he tried to pull those into the conversation. And while I'm not saying that you should just pull things off of TikTok and use it as theology, I do think that you can pull videos off of TikTok and say, hey, this is good, this is accurate, or hey, this is garbage. Stay away from stuff like this. Or maybe even the more important mindset to teach behind this is, ultimately, as youth pastors, our goal is to equip students to be Christian adults, to be faithful Christian adults. And so as they go, they're going to experience more and more and stuff, and they're going to leave our ministries, they're going to go to other ministries. I think more than anything else, we are teaching them and training them to stand up for their own beliefs. And so when we look at this mindset of like, hey, don't do this because this theology on TikTok is bad, maybe we need to be pulling these conversations in and saying, hey, what could you see as a red flag here? What could you see as a problem? Let's address scripturally how this could be an issue. Let's find those locations, because then you're teaching them the skill instead of just telling them knowledge. And so if they can go back and do it themselves, it's a lot more in the front of their brain. It's a lot more just instinctive, ready to pull out. And so prepping them and preparing them for that is still our goal, is still the focus that we have. And I mean, sometimes just incorporating what they're involved in is the best teaching method we can, just like Jesus did. So and so obviously there's tons of different things, and you mentioned this earlier, and I think this one is probably, I mean, I hate to say that it has really ramped up in 4 years, because I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's much more the spotlight has been put on it over the past 4 years, and that's the whole conversation when it comes to mental health and all the suicides and everything else that we're dealing with. So what ways do you think that youth ministries can address the mental health challenges that young people are facing today? Obviously, it's an epidemic. You said it's the number one killer of teenagers in Colorado, which is terrible. But it's evident in our world. It's happening daily. And how do we address that?
Yeah, I think we've got to hit it head on. I think we can't sit back anymore. And I think what that means is, it means we can't ignore it. But we also need to be trained, because I think a lot of us avoid it because we don't know anything about it. And so let's change that. Let's go get some training for ourselves. And let's go get some training for our leaders and our teams and our volunteers as well. And so I highly recommend all youth pastors across the country, around the world, to at least get mental health first aid training. Your local government and nonprofits and stuff around you should have that. There's some Christian organizations that are out there that are doing that as well from a biblical stance. But mental health first aid training, they have adult version and they have a teenage version. It's also something you could even bring your student leaders through as well, so they could be really equipped to help their peers. But that's a great one. And also suicide prevention training. There's some great organizations that are out there doing suicide prevention training. And it just gets us in the mindset of, what do we look for? How do we know when students are struggling? And then when we do know they are, what do we do with that? How do we ask good questions? How do we engage with them? And so, number one, get some training yourself. And then also, I'd say, if you don't have some sort of plan for your youth group, hey, what do you do when someone says, hey, I have thought about killing myself? Like, what's your response? What's your youth group's response? What's your response as a leader? What's how do your other leaders respond to that? And so if you don't have a plan, get together a plan. I can help people walk through that whole process. There's other great resources out there, but have a plan, because it's going to happen. If you're engaging with these students like we really should, they're going to feel comfortable to finally open up to you about this stuff, and we need to know what to do. So training and have a plan, get your other leaders trained as well. And I think when we do that, we're equipped to do what we can, but also we need to have a referral list. Like, if you're a youth pastor and you don't know any other counselors or therapists in your community, it's time to get to know them. So you can make a list of people that you can refer out to, because you're not going to be able to handle everything. You're not equipped to handle everything. You don't have the capacity to handle everything. But when you start to reach your limit, who are you going to refer this kid to? to get some further help that has further education, further experience, and further capacity to go beyond what you can. And so, yeah, I think training, have a plan, and then also have that referral list will put us in a really good place to move forward. I think there's probably more things that we can do, but we can definitely have those three things in place.
Well, I like how you said resource list, because the thing is, I think a lot of times youth pastors especially fall to the mindset of we can fix everything. And there is a great deal of things that we are not skilled to fix. We are not trained to fix. And so having that referral list is very, very important. Now, having the training to know how to respond when that comes up is great. And I 100% am behind that. But that referral list is super, super important. The other thing is get to know your school counselors. Yeah. If you have a high school or if you have a junior high, odds are you have at least a handful of counselors that you need to know by name. You probably need a contact number for them, and that you need to have a relationship with them to where not only can you ask questions, but you can also refer, and maybe they have more information that you can seek out as well for that. I have personally done that with our counselors at school. Anytime that I know of something that is happening, I will say, hey, this student, just FYI, has been struggling with this. And so with that, it is very, very important that we kind of hit this from both sides, hit it at school, hit it at church. And then we also go home if home is not the issue. But there's a lot of importance to that. And the other thing with that, though, is if you show that you're authentic and you show that you want what's best for the student to those counselors, the counselors will do the same thing to you likewise. They'll be like, hey, I know this kid's in your youth group. They came and talked to me today about XYZ. Obviously can't talk about it. Parents, like, don't know about it. But, like, this needs to be you need to be aware of this just in case it comes up in conversation kind of thing. And so it can be a very, very beneficial two-way street. And the goal is to help the student that's there. And so however you can find those ways to do it is very, very important. But the other thing is like you said, it all falls back to relationships. If you have that relationship, you've opened the ground for them to speak. And when they have spoken to you, that means that they trust you enough for you to have insight into that situation in their lives. And then I would take this conversation another way as well, because we oftentimes think about the students, but we're oftentimes ministering to the entire family as well. And so what happens, I had this happen just a couple months ago, what happens when the parent commits suicide? How do you approach this situation? How do you go in with the mindset of, hey, I need to be here for the students, but I also need to be here for the spouse. I need to be here for a little sister, older brother, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I need to find the most effective ways that we as a church, not just the youth ministry, can reach out to those families that are hurting and families that are in need.
And Brent, I think the thing that comes to my mind the most out of all that is when we realize that as youth leaders that we really are called to not only reach those teenagers, but we're called to be there for their entire family. We really are a pastor that is focusing on the entire family, and we should. Man, like, we only have so much capacity. And so we have to grow up a team around us. We have to get our other leaders trained and be able to do this as well. And yes, we are still, you know, if we're the head youth pastor or whatever at our church, like, yes, we are the one that's ultimately leading the ministry and ultimately in charge. But we can train a team around us that to increase our capacity, because there's no way that, let's say you have a fairly large youth group, you got three or four families that are really struggling with that, you're going to be tapped out pretty quick. And so who else can you bring around you to lean on to help walk with those families as well, and then also lean on those resources, like you said, with the school counselors, that their therapist, other pastors and your staff, anything that you can lean on as well. Don't try to do this alone.
Yeah, no, it's not something you need to do alone. You will end up getting into a situation that you cannot handle. And quite honestly, it's not saying that whoever's listening to this is just not equipped or not trained or not prepared. It's just those situations always lead to things that are almost impossible to handle by yourself. And so having that team around you, I think one of the most powerful things I've ever heard is the privilege of a youth pastor is that we are a part of many villages. We are not the village leader. And so being with that, like, the parents are the village leaders, but we are a part of each village. And of course, it goes with the coinage. It takes a village to raise a child. But like, we get the privilege to be a part of a ton of villages. And that is a really, really great thing. So with that, though, I think that's it. You have to have relationships to open up, and you have to be trained and prepared. So if you were sitting there and listening to this conversation and you're like, man, like, I know I have students struggling. They've even maybe one or two have come up and talked to me, and I don't know what to do. Reach out to your local government. They do have training. Reach out to your police department. Most police departments actually have licensed counselors on staff now, to where they have resources and stuff like that. If not, they have resources to get you what you need. Please, 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 if you hear anything from this episode, go get all the help you need before you need it. Because it's not worth it to try and do it on your own and then realize you can't. Obviously, that is one of the larger aspects of this upcoming world and this culture that we're in is the mental health crisis. But I guess from another standpoint of this same kind of question, how do we take the gospel approach to the, I guess, mental health crisis that we're facing? I've heard the question that's asked all the time that I see on pretty much every youth ministry Facebook page is this mindset of like, how do we teach the, or like, what issues is this generation facing and how do we address them? And it comes down to like the same four every single time, every single generation, they just show up in new ugly ways. But so how do we address the culture and the world that we're in with a stance of the Bible, and how do we approach with the gospel in mind of speaking into these mental health situations and everything else?
I see that question all the time. And so like, what do we do? And I think for me, it comes down to we really do have to be intentional. And I feel like I've said that a couple different times in our conversation, but we really do. We can't just kind of go through the motions and just like, you know, teach what we're going to teach and have our little game and move on and everything. And all those things are really important. But what's our intentionality behind it? How are we constantly pointing students to the truth of the gospel and then also equipping them to share that with their peers? And I think that's totally different, because I think for the first several years of my ministry, I was just teaching through the Bible, teaching whatever curriculum it was, and trying to be relevant. But I feel like the best success that I have had with really truly tapping into what you're talking about is when I sit down with a small group of students and just like, okay, what are you going through? What's life like right now? What are your friends talking about? And then looking at the Bible together. And so with that, we're not only showing them the truth, but we're not just giving answers out. We're helping them find the answers, because we're equipping them, which is going to go back to what you're talking about earlier. We're equipping them to be lifelong disciples of Jesus, not just disciples when they're in youth group. And so how are we, you know, addressing the questions that they have and then walking to the Bible with them and seeing, okay, what does the Bible say about anxiety? Well, actually, Jesus has a lot to say about anxiety, and how can we look at his teachings and what's that really mean, and discussing that rather than just teaching. I'm not saying teaching's wrong. Keep teaching. But how can we also walk alongside those students to help them discover the truth of the Bible and then apply that to their lives? So I think the biggest thing for me was when I heard some people that were apologetics professors and experts several years ago talked about how apologetics, they've changed that. Because before it was more just about arguing the truth of the Bible, basically, and why you believe what you believe and be able to stand up for your truth. And that's good and important, but they were like, what is that getting to? And so now it's more applied apologetics of like, okay, know why you believe what you believe, but then how do you express that to someone else to help them also understand the truth that Jesus loves them like crazy, went to the cross for them, rose from the grave for them so that they could also rise from the grave and they don't have to fear death and they don't have to fear all this other stuff that's going on in the world, like that's contributing to anxiety and it's contributing to suicide and all these different things. And it's contributing to them not knowing where they belong. Man, students don't know where they belong and they're struggling with identity and they're struggling with purpose. Then how are we addressing those things? Because yeah. The Bible says a lot about identity, purpose, and belonging. And so how can we show them that Jesus does give them an identity that's so far greater than any other identity that they can run to in the world?
Yeah.
Because all those identities are constantly changing. But the identity in Christ is never changing because Christ never changes. And then how are we showing them that they really do belong? They're a part of this amazing body that God himself has orchestrated and put together, that he's at the head. They are a part of that, and God wants them to be a part of that so bad. And then also that they have a purpose, that God has given them gifts and talents and abilities that he wants to then use to make a significant difference in the world. And so I think if we can address those really, truly heart things with them, and then give our students... We have to give them the resources and the equipping and empowering them to actually share that with their peers, because it's not about just them, hey, come to youth group and learn from my youth pastor. It's no, like, how can they actually learn those things and then go out and actually do it in their schools and their clubs and their teams and everything else that they're running to?
Yeah, and a couple months ago, I had Greg Steer on the podcast, and he brought up something that was just absolutely captivating to me visually, because I'd never thought of it that way. And he was very much in the same kind of mindset of like, we don't equip them for 4 years and then send them out, or equip them for 6 years and send them out. We teach them, like, we get them to know Jesus and then we send them. Yeah. He said, yeah. The thing is he was like, basically he used this kind of visualization of holding out a sponge, and the students are holding out this sponge, and he was like, and I can pour the finest milk in the world on this sponge, he said, but what happens if it's never wrung out? Mm. He's like, it rots, it goes, mm-hmm. it goes away, it is spoiled, it's no longer good. He's like, but the thing is if you show students their value, their purpose, their identity in the gospel, in Jesus, and you allow them to take that and wring that out into their student communities, then when their sponge rings out, they come back for more. Mm-hmm. And it's, you are discipling them while they're evangelizing others. And so equipping and training this mindset of having students that are going out instead of students that are bringing in is very, very important. And I think that's the mindset that we really, really have to kind of navigate towards. I think a lot of times youth ministries get to this nature where we want to be the big, like, ringleader, or the kind of the leader of the show, or whatever you want to say, circus leader, I feel like, more than mm-hmm. anything else. But this mindset of like, if we are telling students to bring them back to us to make us the primary person, we're doing it wrong.
Yep.
And
yep.
so we have yep. to be teaching our students that they are the ones that are going out, they are the ones sharing, and they can come back to us if they need help in the process. We yeah. are not teaching yeah. them something that they can't teach on their own.
Right. And that's so awesome when that happens, when we can set those students up and empower them and send them into their schools. They're going to come back and they're going to have questions for us. And those questions are going to be far greater than any other question they've ever asked before, because they're going to come back and say, hey, youth pastor, I've been trying to reach this kid in my class, and now he's asked this question and I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, that next coffee or the next lunch that you have with that kid to walk through the Bible is going to be so rich, and you're able to have an amazing discipleship opportunity with that student who's then going to be able to take that and share that with their friend who's asked this amazing question.
Yeah.
And so it's more about equipping them to really do the work that God has asked them to do rather than sitting back and trying to do it ourselves. I was in a youth group, my last youth group, and we were talking about evangelism one night, and I just happened to step into high school, one of the high school small groups, and the leader just happened to ask one of the questions that I had set up for that night, and they said, you know, so how do you share the gospel with your friends? And as I'm stepping in the room, the kid goes, I don't know, I bring him to youth group and let Steve do it. And I'm like, oops, I have missed the mark on that.
Yeah.
Because that is not the answer they should be saying.
Yeah.
They should know how to share their faith with their friends and not just relying on me to do it at youth group.
Yeah.
That's not what it's about.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think that's one of the things that's really, really important. And I like how you said you have that next lunch or the next coffee, and it's that just that moment of almost like unaffected discipleship. They are so invested. They are so involved now because you've given them a reason to be. Now it's in their court and they are the ones that are in charge. And they're like, hey, my friend's life's on the line. I don't want to mess this up. And so they are eager. They are willing to listen. They're willing to try anything. And they are wanting wisdom on how to handle a situation. And so using that as your kind of catalyst for your group is very, very, very important. If you want to go back and listen just to the mindset of in contributing to this episode, I'll put the link to Greg's episode in the show notes so you can listen to that one as well if you're listening to this and haven't listened to that one, because I do think that they go very, very much hand in hand. But we look at the mindset of technology. We look at AI. We look at social media. We look at all these different things. It all boils down to the mindset of, once again, going back to relationships and then using those relationships that you've built to build people that will evangelize to others. And so whether it be mental health, whether it be anything else, like having students on the forefront of that is vital to youth ministry. And quite, I hate to say that it hasn't been the focus forever. This kind of seems like it's becoming new ground, but it is the mindset that, like, it will change your ministry. It will change your effectiveness of sharing the gospel. And then the other staunch reality that we have to kind of pay attention to is something else that Greg said in that episode. He said, you know why students don't share the gospel anymore? And I was like, he goes, it's because their parents and their youth pastor don't.
Yeah.
So we need to put our money where our mouth is. We need to be willing to share the gospel whenever the time comes, because not only are we telling them to, we're modeling by example. And so if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I don't remember the last time I shared the gospel other than reading John 3:16 in the youth room that one time, you need to really, really be living that out, because that's what you're called to do as a Christian, not called to do as a youth pastor. Be there and model by example just as much as you're teaching.
Totally. I don't know if you're connected with Travis Deans, is a friend and colleague of mine with National Network, and he's behind the 9-month mission trip concept. And so at my last church, we introduced the 9-month mission trip concept, and you know, the students got it and everything. But then I went to the leaders. I went to our team and said, hey, we've got to be living this out too. Because if we're asking every week, hey, what opportunities did you get to share the gospel this week? So let's celebrate together. But we don't have anything to contribute to that. Why would the students do it?
Yeah.
Like some, you might get a couple that are just really ambitious, but they're going to follow us as their leaders.
Yep.
So take your role as a leader seriously, like lead by example and celebrate that with them. If they're constantly hearing you as their youth pastor or you as their small group leader, like, man, guess who I shared the gospel with this week? Or guess what gospel conversation I was able to have in this setting, and you're excited about it. They're going to want to do that too. And you're going to be able to urge them on by your actions as well.
Very much. And Travis actually came on the podcast and talked about 9-month mission. So not to plug more episodes, but we'll, if you want to know more about 9-month mission, honestly, man, it's one of the coolest things evangelism wise that I've come across as a resource. It is something that like is literally plug in and play. But you give the opportunity and you give the mindset of students starting to think about the unsaved people in their schools, that are sometimes even in their own circles. And it's a really, really great resource to have. But I'll link that episode as well in the show notes just for the sake of 9-month mission. I know we're getting to the end of this school year, but start planning to drop that in August when you have the next opportunity to do so. Man, other than that, like, I guess my big question that I have left is just this mindset of, I mean, we have relationships, we have this focus of trying to push the mindset to where we are no longer the ringleader, we are the person behind the scenes that no one knows is there, and the students are being the main focus, which is how it should be. How do you see this playing out in the world that we live in? And how can just doing these two simple things, building relationships and equipping teenagers to evangelize, how can that change the culture of youth that we have nowadays?
Yeah. Yeah, I think if we truly step into that, I feel like we're going to start to see the church look a lot more like the Acts church.
Yeah.
I walked through Acts with some student leaders last year and it was just so eye-opening. Like I studied in Bible college, but it was one of the first times that I'd really deeply studied it with a group of teenagers and was just overwhelmed by the passion that they had for Jesus, the passion that they had for each other, and the passion that they had for sharing the gospel with other people. And we saw the book of Acts tells us like that daily those like God was adding to their numbers daily those who were being saved.
Yeah.
So our churches will be completely transformed and our communities will be transformed because daily people are going to be able to come into this saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can't help but think, you know, there's some issues that people have, like physical issues that for whatever reason, God chooses not to heal everybody. I think there's going to be some mental health struggles that for whatever reason, God's not going to choose to heal everybody from those either. But I think we're going to see a significant change in the anxiety levels of our society when we can realize that, man, God is offering us the peace that passes all understanding. And he offers us a hope for the future.
Yeah.
That we can rest in him. He wants to take those burdens for us. And he wants to walk alongside us, yoke up with him. And when we start to live that out and we help our students to live that out and share that love and share that grace and share that hope and that peace with those around them, I can't help but see the world changing from that. And I see teenagers, and maybe that goes from being the number one, number two death of teenagers is suicide to maybe number 10, or maybe it's completely off the list eventually.
Yeah.
I can't help but be an optimist. But I just know that the power of Jesus Christ is that powerful.
Yeah.
And so, man, like, but it's not going to happen unless we truly unite with that common purpose.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Acts church had that common purpose. They understood what it was like to really, truly care for the body of Christ, but then also not to stay inside those walls,
yeah,
but to take it and share it with everyone they could. And some people aren't going to get it. Some people are going to rebel. Some people, I hope they don't try to do, you know, to you what they did to Paul. But not everybody's going to get it, but a lot of people are going to get it. And I can't help but see, you know, think if in my mind's eye, if we do that, man, our churches, our communities, our schools, the sports teams, everything's going to change. And people will be living with a new identity that never changes and a purpose that is so far greater than anything else that the world can offer.
Yeah, man. What a great visualization of what life, what meant, what like what the culture could be like. We look at I think we look too much at the future as times of like almost like hopelessness and desperation. And I always wonder how much of that is just lazy. Because in all reality, like if something's wrong, you need people to step up and fix it. But a few people stepping up to fix it can start a landslide of a movement. And so just being there and allowing that to take place in your ministry might be a small spark to that fire. But you could change your community for the sake of Jesus, which is really, really important because you're teaching skills, you're teaching resources, you're not just giving head knowledge. Yeah. So very, very important. And so I two things to kind of close off. First off, I love asking this question to anybody that's in youth ministry. Just if you had one word of advice to share with the youth pastors listening to this, it can be on topic or off topic, your choice. What would you say to them? And then secondly, you can close with just kind of like a little spotlight on you moment, anything you're involved in with National Network currently. Also definitely showcase your podcast again so we can definitely highlight that and promote that as well. But anything you have kind of in the works or that you're excited about coming out soon, feel free to spotlight that as well.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for having me on. And I think the biggest thing that comes to mind that I would love to share it really comes down to what I get to spend a lot of my time on right now is helping youth leaders get connected. If you're trying to do it alone, it's time to change. We're not meant to do this alone. We're not meant to try to figure out things. And like, we need each other. Like this conversation with Brent, man, it's great to talk about youth ministry together. It's great to hear other people's ideas and sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron, but also just to be there for each other because it's tough. Like you're going to have some students that are just really struggling sometimes and you probably don't know what to do all the time. You're not going to know what to do all the time. And so who do you have around you that you can ask, hey, have you had this happen to you? Or, hey, can we look at the Bible together and figure this out together? Or, you know, what book have you read about this? And I need to read that too. Whatever that is, we need to be there and help each other. And so if you're not connected, please get connected. We need like the whole biblical mentor, you know, disciple kind of setup. You know, we need those Pauls in our lives.
Yeah.
We need those people that we're walking alongside as well, like those Barnabases. And we also need those Timothys that we're pouring into as well. And so who's mentoring you? Who are you walking alongside as a peer that is a similar level, quote unquote, level as you? And who's that next one and the next generation that you're raising up as well? And find that network around you. We can help that happen at National Network of Youth Ministries. So check out nnym.org and we can get you connected. If there's not a network in the area, we have resources to help you start a network in your area. And we want to help you get connected because we know we're better together. So that's my biggest encouragement is get connected. And if you're not connected, reach out. We'd love to make that happen. And then as well, if you want to find out more from me or follow up questions or connect more with anything I'm doing, my own personal blog is probably the best place to go. It's stevecullum.com. So that's stevecullum.com. And you can find, my blog there, but also link to my podcast, Student Ministry Connection. That's I put out episodes every other week on that. And I'm on social media at Steve Cullum pretty much everywhere. And so feel free to reach out, connect, follow up questions, anything like that. Check out the podcast if you want. But I just want to be a resource. It's crazy to think that like I feel like I've been in this long enough that like God actually is now using me as a resource to other youth pastors.
Right?
Like I'm still learning myself. I don't know about that, but I want to be a fellow learner and come alongside other youth leaders and
sure.
Just make this better.
Yeah, and going back to National Network, or you can be like me. I had been in charge or kind of been leading my local community of youth pastors for a couple years. Then I had Travis on the podcast, Travis Deans, and he talked about networking and talked about National Network of Youth Ministries. And I was like, hey, man, like I kind of already do that. And he was like, well, dude, we don't have anybody that is like the lead for our website. Because when you go on to nnym.org, there is a map, basically, and you can find local networks in your area or local leaders, like Steve said a second ago. And sometimes there aren't any. So if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I already run a network, all you have to do is go to nnym.org and say, hey, I'm running one. You can talk to me. And it's a really, really cool resource, because if someone moves into your community that knows National Network of Youth Ministries, then they can get on their website and they know who to contact to get involved locally in their community, which is really, really cool. So I have been I am on there as a community leader. I am also kind of working my way into being a regional coordinator for NNYM, or a I don't remember what Rick called it, a student strategist or something to that nature.
Okay, cool.
And so, but there's tons of opportunities. And the thing is, especially with NNYM, like it takes an army, because it's across the country. And so there's a lot of people involved in that. And it takes just you saying, hey, I'm willing to lead. I value youth ministry. I value the youth pastors in my community. And I want to see them succeed just as much as I want to have influence on the kids that I have. But that's awesome. And then finally, there's something else before we close that I completely, it's been a fun 2 weeks. I told Steve that before we started. So if you're listening to this, this is actually the last episode of season 3. And so this is season 3, episode 50 right here. And so starting next week, we will be in season 4, which means we will be starting our fourth year of the podcast. And we are excited to continue on with that. And we're excited just to bring more youth pastors into the conversation and bring more connection and networking opportunities to our listeners, as well as provide some future opportunities that are coming. We've spoken about those in previous episodes, but our goal is to be the best resource we can for youth pastors and bring as many of you into the conversation as we possibly can. So with that being said, thank you for season 3. It's been awesome. What a great episode to have Steve come and close us for season 3.
I'm glad he didn't tell me that to start with. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, so. I know, right? So, but I mean, just the mindset of it, like what a topic to end the season with, just this mindset of, man, what does youth ministry look like? How can we fix what's going wrong? And how do we move forward with youth ministry as a whole? And what a great segue in moving into season 4. So that is all the time that we have for this episode. If you are listening to this for the first time and you're like, man, I really like this, I want to share it, we'd love for you to. You can share our podcast with your youth pastor friends on social media, or you can tag a specific episode, maybe like Steve's today, that really stood out to you. Either way, be sure to tag us in the post on your favorite platform using @TalkStudentMen. And then finally, if you'd like to be like Steve and be on the show in the future, reach out to us on social media, send us an email, you can reach out. We're kind of phasing out the podcast at Student Ministries, at studentministryconversations.org email. You can actually just reach out to any of the hosts. Like for me, for instance, you can do Brent@studentministryconversations.org. And we would love to set up a time that you can come on the show with us. But man, Steve, what a great, great opportunity to meet you in person finally, or meet virtually in person, I guess.
Yeah.
But then also just an opportunity to have a really, really powerful conversation that's been prevalent on my mind over the past couple months, pushing into the end of this year and continuing into the next school year. Such a great topic. We're excited for listeners to get to hear this one. And for everybody that is listening right now, we hope you have a great week, and we will see you next week for the start of season 4 of the podcast. But until next time, you guys have a great week, and just let us be a resource to you if you need us.